This is Anderson Penn's podcast, episode 7, on Sunday, July 8th, 2012. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Penn's Radio Network. Welcome.
It always sounds so official.
It's been a warm week here, and we hope all of you had a good 4th of July for our U.S. friends this past week. This being my last week of work, I had a couple of days off, which I lovingly spent working on Penn stuff.
That's cute.
While I tried to clean off my desk amongst all that, I was mildly successful. All that I took off has now been replaced by other pens and inks, so maybe next week we'll catch up with that project.
I think of it as a work in progress.
It's always a work in progress.
Warm weather. It's been more than warm.
Yeah, 9,500.
Yeah, it was
bad. Last week or so.
Yeah. So we had a visit from our friends Dave and Julie yesterday, the first nice day in about 2 weeks, and we played with pens on the patio. By nice days, I mean not 95 and 101 with a heat index of, 110. We don't have air conditioning here at the house, so the kids and I spent a great deal of time running errands to pretty much any place with AC. Spent a lot of time at the library and the mall. Yesterday was beautiful. So we had Dave, Julie, and their adorable daughter, Caitlin, outside, played with pens, tossed around some ideas for the business, and I think all around had an excellent time.
Yep. It was real nice.
We do have one problem. I do fear we have infected both of them with the dreaded pen bug.
I think so. In fact, I think they're starting to miscount how many pens they own.
Yep.
I think at one point, Julie said something about only owning 3 pens. But we know for a fact that that's not true. So,
but, whatever you tell yourself to sleep better at night about how many pens you have, that we understand completely. Yep.
I don't even count anymore. So
I don't think we can count that high.
I have 2 in front of me.
Oh, okay. let's see. So the basement is much cooler than the upper 2 floors. Spent a lot of time doing laundry, and we've been converting about 1,000 square feet into a pen room. So it's been fun getting that space ready for our carpenter and our plumber.
Yeah, that's going to be really awesome. Amazing space.
We had a good time picking out the flooring and lumber for some bookshelves and some pen cases. And yeah, it's going to be pretty awesome. Let's see. This week, we also had Brian's Daily Carry pens were featured on Fountain Pen Geeks a few weeks ago, and mine were featured this past Friday. This is a really fun part of their blog, and I don't know about the rest of you, but I always look forward to seeing what other people carry, kind of a peek into the personal life of whoever. So keep up the fun, Dan and Eric. Love that. Yeah. Absolutely love it.
Very cool.
Yep. And a big shout out. I always wanted to say that. I know. You're like Dick Clark or something. To my mom and stepdad, thanks for listening and for the constructive criticism. Apparently, mom likes the curtains drawn in my office behind me. She likes those closed better than open. So thanks, mom. Keep up the criticism.
So there it is. You heard it here first.
Exactly. A public thank you to my mom.
This last week, I managed to find one of the must-have pens on my wish list. For those that keep up with the blog, back in May, I mentioned I was looking for, among other things, an Aiken Lambert thumb filler, which I know is kind of ridiculous for anybody who knows how difficult these are to find. They're pretty scarce items. I may not be able to find more than a couple of them a year, and the price is usually pretty high. It's usually out of my range. But I spotted one on eBay about a week ago and thought that would make a nice addition to my my birthday present.
Because you needed more.
I needed more. And I wanted to get something kind of as a special, I got a new job. So it would be the new job pen.
There you go.
Much to my surprise, I ended up on top of the bidding, and I now have this much sought after Aiken Lambert thumb filler. I'll show it to you in a minute here, but this particular example is as a smooth gold filled overlay.
Those are pretty. Anything with smooth gold is really pretty.
Yeah, it's really the beauty and simplicity, I think. Now, this one, unfortunately, it's has many small, few dings here and there, but overall, it's a respectable condition. And, you know, like I said, you're only going to find a few of these a year, so you don't have, the pickings are slim. You can't afford to be too picky. It has a nice engraving on the sleeve, which says BWJ 1916. So this is at least 96 years old. It did come to me in working order, which awesome. Which is nice. But the nib has been worn down. The tipping's gone. But I don't know if it had been smoothed or it's just happened to be this. It actually writes about a double broad. It does write, but nib's going to need to be replaced. It has probably what I would call maybe an earlier Aiken Lambert number 2 nib, which has the unusual teardrop shaped vent hole. Most of them are the heart shaped that you see. But perhaps the most surprising thing for me, even after having looked at all the photographs, and maybe I was just too excited, maybe I didn't notice, this pen has a friction fit cap. Self-filling pens with friction fit caps are not the norm. So when they show up, it's kind of cool. Sort of a crossover between the earlier eyedropper pens and the later screw cap, lever, or other self-fillers. And other than, unlike the thumb filler that I picked up in the Raleigh auction, this one works a bit differently. The pen that I got in Raleigh, and I'll show it to you here. This operates, here's a thumb filling mechanism. This operates by rotating the section to get to the press bar.
Sort and the of like other one that. Doesn't?
The Aiken has a little bit of a different design.
I would never be able to figure that out. It's just too technical for me. Give me a lever filler or cartridge filler any day.
Here's the Aiken. No threads. Does have a cap. But it has a sleeve right here on the barrel. And you can see it here. And you rotate the sleeve. I'll try to do this without getting ink on myself here.
That would be good.
That would be good.
I just did laundry.
You rotate the sleeve to view the press bar, and then you can press it. So, in my opinion, it's a little bit better, better idea. I like the design a little bit better, but perhaps that's just from a modern standpoint, because rotating a section on a near 100-year-old pen inside the barrel, that's a lot of. If you don't do it right, you're gonna have a chance of breaking or cracking the barrel.
That would be bad.
Yeah, and we don't want that. So.
No.
So that's cool. And probably the best thing, best part is this came to me in time for me to take to my last day of work. So, it was pretty perfect timing. But that's my latest find. And now I get to move on to the next hardest, to find Aiken Lambert filling mechanism, which is the safety. So, hopefully it won't take me that long to find, but we'll see.
You always have a goal with your gotta-have pen. So now, is this the pen you were tweeting about, like you were tracking it on the post office website, like every hour on the hour?
I may have been.
You know, there are meds for that.
They're called Aiken Lambert. That's what they're called. That's the med right there, baby.
There you go. So, all right.
Anyway, it was sort of a celebratory pen for birthday, but, also... getting a new job, and I guess the real question becomes, which pen do I use to start work at the new job tomorrow? So
one whatever is the most reliable.
Yeah, one thing's for sure. I'm going to make sure they're all freshly inked up before I leave the house.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. I'm just taking all of them.
I'm thinking the 10 pen case, and I'm just going to make sure I have enough pens and ink to last me the day.
Your shirt pocket is not big enough. You can take 3.
I got plenty of room in the briefcase.
3.
Okay, we'll see about that.
3.
Let's talk about eBay for this week.
No.
Let's talk about eBay strategy for just a minute.
Don't give away your secrets.
No, I don't think this is a real secret. This is just kind of a hit or miss thing. But the funny thing about eBay auctions, since we've included this segment in the podcast, I've been watching more and more auctions.
Is that possible to watch more than you normally do?
Well, you know, I mean, I have a responsibility to our listeners to
research now.
Make sure we.
Oh, honey, I'm not shopping. It's research. For
it
the
is
podcast.
Research, right? You know, now when you see something you're interested in, eBay has this handy feature to allow you to keep tabs. It's called appropriately the watch feature.
I like that.
Yeah. Well. I'm sure, or rather, I hope there are others out there like me who circumvent this procedure completely, and I keep tabs on items that I'm interested on just by bidding on them.
I watch them.
But you know, there's actually some strategy in getting the first bid in on an auction.
Okay.
All subsequent watchers and bidders are going to wonder what your high proxy bid is. If you've put in a bid on an item at $9.99. start price, the next bidder knows they're going to have to bid higher, usually several dollars higher. Now, yeah, who wouldn't want to pay $9.99 for a pen? That's, you know, that's awesome. You might even have to pay $13 or $14 for it, but
depends on the pen.
Right. Yeah. You know, we're not talking about Waterman Patricians here. Yeah. We're, you
whatever.
Know,
or a whatever.
Yeah. Or whatever. Right. But if you're coming to the auction and with a bidder already present, that means you're going to have to pay, you know, $14, $20 outright in this example. Let's say shipping's $5 and I don't want to pay more than $20. So I set my proxy at $14 or $15, depending on how cheap I am, I'm going to be that day, and whether how much I really want it or not. So if there are others that are thinking like me and the item's falling in within that reasonable price range already, it's quite possible no one else will bid, thinking I've already bid it up to $15. And that means they're going to have to pay $16 plus shipping, which takes them outside of that $20 range.
Okay.
The net benefit is they don't bid at all. And you get the item for a lesser price just because you bid first. So, why am I mentioning this?
Did you win something again? You did. Is it, so you save up these things and then you just spring it on me on the podcast and I can't, you know, smack you for it.
Well...
What'd you win?
You know, for those who have an iPhone and they have the eBay app, you know, eBay will let you know when you've been outbid, when something's within 15 minutes before the end, or when you win an item. So yesterday afternoon, Lisa and I are tearing apart the basement. And when we finished, we went outside to cool off, have a drink. I took the time to check my phone, and apparently I had won an auction I forgot I even bid on in the first place.
How do you forget you bid on something?
Well, you know, I bid on a couple things, and then usually I get outbid, and then it's, you know, that's that. So we'll see when it comes next week. But a Leroy Fairchild,
okay,
number two dip pen. It's marked on the nib and the handle, and it was less than $20.
Is that shipped or before shipping?
That was before shipping, but
okay.
Since eBay bucks had just been recently released or awarded this month, I get it for even less. So,
well, look at you.
Just right. Goes to show you may once in a while win something by just putting in that initial bid. So, now let's, all that being said, let's take a look at some eBay auctions this week. I have a couple of interesting items.
Uh-oh.
And
are any of these coming home?
You know, I did bid on one of them, so let's. And I should have bid more, but
no.
No. The first one actually came way to me via a friend that some of, ooh, you probably recognize the name, Paul Holben. He's the author of the Esterbrook book, and from time to time we have a conversation, we chat. And he sent me a link to this pen. Before I show you the image, I'll read the title here. It says Rare 1890 Esterbrook Easy Writer Fountain Dip Pen. So he sends it to me and he says, you know, could this be an Esterbrook? Now, Esterbrook did make a nib called the Easy Writer. And the reason this auction is called that is on the cap, it actually says Easy Writer. But then there's a patent date, March 4th, 1890. There's no other identification on the pen whatsoever. But as you can see, it's a hard rubber. It's a taper cap, cable twist pattern.
Those are cool.
Yeah, they're very cool. Somewhat uncommon. We know of one in an antique store that's a Parker modeled hard rubber, and it goes for the low, low price of $3,000. This one apparently is missing the nib.
Oh, there you go.
There we go, yeah. No nib.
No nib.
But otherwise, it's crack-free, chip-free. It's got your usual, you can see in this picture, part of the feed is still there. But there's no marking on it whatsoever. The cable pattern looks nice. So with the information of the patent date, I sat down and at the patent, U.S. Patent Trade Trademark Organization website, went on and searched for that date, and there was, I think, 563 patents issued on that date.
Oh, so how far are you through those 563?
At about 445, I think it was. I ran across the actual patent for this pen. It was issued to Weedlick.
Okay.
So this is actually a Weedlick pen without the nib.
Okay.
And having been that I just completed restoring a Weedlick pen that had the wrong nib, I figured this one was going to be really difficult to find and replace. I didn't bid it up too high. And I did lose the bid, and actually, I think we were busy doing something. It ended at a weird time in the afternoon, and we lost this one. But check this price out, $67, nine bids. I mean, that's crazy, crazy.
It's crazy low.
Yeah, for a cable twist, anything, and especially for a decent brand like Weedlick. But who knows what it would have gone for had it been identified correctly as a Weedlick. So the lesson there is, if you have the full patent date information, you can look it up online, and through some exhaustive searching, you can actually find who the patent belongs to.
Is that exhaustive or exhausting research?
A little bit of both. I did find about 3/4 of the way through a much easier way to whip through the patents. They go about 50 patents at a time per page, and then you can just click next through the through the original designs. So,
all right.
Number two, and I picked this one because of the Red Hard Rubber article that I wrote for FP Geeks last week or week before, whenever it was. And there was somebody who had asked a question about how much, you know, and how much the Red Hard Rubber pens go for. Well, your most common one is probably this pen right here. It's the Waterman 52 in Cardinal.
Yep, beautiful.
This one, shocking, the price on this one. But when you look at the pictures, and the pictures are kind of blurry, your classic blurry pictures. Looks like it comes in a box, but that's really not really a
proper
big
box. Yeah.
It may be, but it's not a real determining factor in the value of the price. It's kind of a rough looking pen. It's seen some use. It doesn't have any cracks or chips, but it's got some. It's got a scratch here below the clip. Looks like some brassing. Looks like the lever box is good. But we've got some weird thing going on here. Maybe this is it. Maybe they've replaced the barrel. Maybe that's what the problem is here.
Yeah, that does not look original.
That's not right, yeah.
No.
$99 for this.
Good price, but yeah,
it's a good price,
right.
But yeah. So 11 bits, but you got yourself a chunk of hard rubber there. So
there you go.
That was kind of interesting.
And that's all the shopping you did?
No, there was one more.
Of course.
This is kind of a bland week. It's black or red, and that's just about it. So this one is just listed as a Parker eyedropper fill pen. And you look at this initial picture, boy, it's clear as day. Number one, right there in the end of the barrel. This is a nice straight cap eyedropper. Just black as you can imagine. It has the Lucky Curve feed, and it has this early One of my favorite Lucky Curve nibs. It's got the little Lucky Curve kind of at an angle, and it's got the little line running through it.
That's cute.
But, you know, it's got the tipping is still there. Nice imprint. You can still read it. Little bit of a mark on the butt end there, but nice looking pen. 182.20 was the winning bid on this one, and 6 bits. So pretty decent price. Now it's plain, it's just all black, but
you like those though.
I do like those. Yeah, they're nice. Sometimes it's nice to see a little bit of embellishment on the pen, but that was pretty nice. A reasonable price, I think, for something like that. So,
and anyway, is that coming home?
No. There are no other pens coming home this week other than at Leroy Fairchild.
Which maybe
we'll talk about next week. It had a little bit of the nib is kind of got a little bit of bending action on it, but
like folded in half, legs crossed, kind of. Or
no, they're just it got dropped or something, so it's got a little bit of a wave to it, but.
It's doing the wave.
Doing the wave, yeah. Right. Moving on to modern. Some new stuff coming in this week.
Yep, some new stuff came in last week, and some pretty exciting things this week. Lemmy All-Star Safaris and Vista, now on the website. See Brian's All-Star review on the blog. And I have to kind of divulge a little personal secret here. Brian and I are not nearly as jaded when it comes to pens as you might think. So when the box from Lamy arrived, you should have seen us literally like wrestling for control of it. Sort of like somebody, a football player has a football trying to hide it from the other team. And in fact, I think Lindsay, our daughter, just kind of stepped out of the way. Like, what are you two doing? And, you know, I had the box and Brian's trying to pull it away. And so delivery days are highly entertaining here at Anderson Pens, and that's our deep dark secret for the week.
the best part was, I think you were getting ready to take Lindsay to go on a driving lesson, and you were leaving the house with this box. You know, this what 50 pens in this small box.
Yeah, it was pretty small, all things considered.
But I
think we put off the driving lesson for a little bit so we could unpack the box.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Yeah. But still took her driving. Don't worry. We're not neglecting the kids. But, you know, a new pen delivery comes and we kind of drop everything and race to get to the box and open it first. So we're like giddy like school kids.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I've been, I grabbed a Lamy All-Star in the ocean blue color, which is, right here. If you can see it. It's
absolutely gorgeous.
Really a pretty color. Kind of a dark blue, and they're anodized aluminum, so they have that, you know, that look. If you've ever seen anything anodized, it writes really well. And I think the thing I like about it best is the section. I mean, there's a lot to like about this pen, but
yep.
Your fingers automatically go to the right spot on the section, which it makes the placement of the nib to paper really effortless, and it's perfect. It really eliminates the thought process involved with picking up the pen and writing. If you think about a Parker 51, at least for me, you kind of have to, I have to look down and I have to make sure that I've got the pen in the right position. So when I place it to the paper, it writes. I mean, if you don't, you can't just pick it up and just drop it to paper and expect it to work. With the Lamy, I found actually we were watching a movie the other night and I was writing some notes about some things. And it was dark, and I uncapped the pen, and my fingers went right to the right spot and right to the paper. I mean, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, they're really nice. I scored a discontinued coffee color, which I really like.
That's
pretty.
See
if I can show you that. It's hard to maybe see the color. You can see it better on the website, but really cool color, different, which I like. But the problem mainly was I couldn't decide between the purple and the blue. I don't make decisions lightly. So I took the coffee. That way I didn't have to choose. I haven't used it all that much. But when I have, I really have enjoyed the feel of it in my hand. One of the most important things to me, or the most impressive things, I guess, was how quickly the pen started to write once the cartridge was pierced. You know, sometimes you get a cartridge fill pen and you've got to, you know, scribble and, you know, flick it down, which you're not supposed to do. Certainly don't do that at home in front of children. But, you know, you dip it in water. I usually dip it on my tongue, and, you know, you do all these crazy things to get the pen to start. On this one, I pierced the cartridge, started to scribble, and literally, you know, 3 seconds later, it was writing and hasn't stopped since. Yeah. It was crazy. Julie, in fact, got one, it was what, yesterday, last yeah. night, and I told her that. She tried it, same thing, you know, three little up and down zigzags, and it started to write. It was wonderful.
Yeah, they're pretty cool pens. And for the vintage folk out there, they're actually identically the same size as a dual fold senior, so which I just happen to have. I hold them up, and they're the same size, both posted and cap, which I thought was kind of cool.
I like that, even though it's a big pen, it's lightweight enough that it doesn't feel big and clunky and heavy. At least in my hand, I prefer much smaller pens.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. We also bought the inventory of a pen collector, and those pens arrived.
Yep.
So we were, let's just say, diving into that box pretty quickly.
Yeah, that was fun too.
Yeah. So we'll have some new stuff up on the pen boards for sale, hopefully later this afternoon or this evening. And most of them are going to go pretty cheaply, which is nice. It's always nice to get a good pen at a fairly inexpensive price.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
And you also posted a nice review this week on the Pelican Edelstein series of inks.
Oh, they're so pretty. the Edelstein ink review is up, and we've received a couple comments on it. Monday, tomorrow, you'll see a review of some red ink, partly in honor of the 4th of July, and I must confess, partly influenced by the furnace-like temperatures here in Wisconsin last week.
I think that's what it's influenced by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so hot. It was
just ridiculous. Yep. I think as a teaser, we have some pretty awesome things happening this coming week.
Oh, yeah.
So be sure and check the watch out the blog, Facebook, and Twitter updates. These are some pretty cool things coming in, so some of which I have a feeling aren't going to be in stock for very long.
Yes, so. I think some of this is going to move really, really quickly.
Yep.
So have your fingers ready.
Yep.
How about the workbench? What's going on this week?
This week's highlight, another 1970s Mont Blanc. This time a 121, which is I think we've coined as another member of the Mont Blanc that doesn't look like a Mont Blanc family.
Yeah, we like those.
Look kind of like this. They're like a very slender model, and it's got the little bit of snow cap on the top and on the piston knob. This one came with a bit of a crinkled nib near the point, but this one has an 18 karat nib. And boy, that sure makes it real easy to smooth out on the nib lock. It just, I don't think 5 minutes and it was smoothed out. Piston seems to be holding up rather well. Unlike our last 124, which made a statement all over my shirt pocket.
That's still around here somewhere, right?
This one here?
Raleigh.
Yeah.
My little... I'll see that in a couple weeks.
You might
right?
see that in a couple weeks. Oh. Yeah. I may take this 121 apart and make sure that everything's got some silicone in it and lubed up, just to keep it sealed up well. I did take it to work on Friday and used it to sign all my exit documents at the old job.
Cool.
It was in my pocket all day, so it could be good, but I'll check to be sure. They come apart pretty easily. So
awesome.
How about this week, Esterbrook 101? What do we have? what do we have going on?
Esterbrook question of the week. We're often asked for, I would consider it, advice on potential eBay winnings, or, you know, I want a pen. A lot of people are curious about the difference between a nurse's pen and a white pastel purse pen, Esterbrook. often the white pastel purse pen is mistaken for a nurse's pen or vice versa, especially on eBay. That one's for you since you love eBay so much, honey. A nurse's pen is actually slightly longer, the SJ size, while the pastels are a little bit shorter. In addition, the pastel purse pen will have usually either white or black jewels, and the nurse's pen will have either red, black, or green. So, pause for emphasis there.
Yeah, green is the scarcest color. It's very, very hard to find.
And with intact green jewels, even harder.
Yep. So almost impossible.
Yep. Pretty, pretty cool. It's a light, like a pistachio or a light mint green. Mm-hmm. The color corresponded to the ink inside, so that each 8-hour nurse's shift had a different color. I believe that black was for day or the 7-to-3 shift, green for the afternoon and evening or the 3-to-11, and red for nights, the 11-to-7. We can't relate so much now because many nurses work 12-hour shifts and much of it's all just either computerized or, just written in whatever color. But it was believed to help make charting easier and to read. Medication info was easier to spot as well. The other thing is that the nurse's pen uses a standard SJ section, while the pastel purse pens, they have a much shorter little section. Yep. So that's often how you can tell if you either own one or you're looking at one on eBay.
Yep. So. Good call.
Yep.
What do we have? Pen shows, nothing coming up this week?
Nope. Miami is in, another?
Couple weeks?
Week and a half.
Okay.
19th through the 22nd. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this before. Bert Ozer runs Miami. He rocks. He runs a couple other shows.
Cool.
Yep. So we're going to send some pads down there, and that'll be good.
Hopefully we get some reports coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, so. Definitely. If you're going, send us a report.
And after Miami?
We requested 4 tables, and we have an update on our table assistant.
Drum roll, please.
Dun-da-da! We have one.
Yay.
Oh, we're so excited. I don't know who's more excited. Our good friend Tim Beiler has agreed to let us rent him during the DC show. And we are just over the moon, super excited. Yep. Tim is a blast, and he knows his pen stuff.
He does.
So he's fun and smart. nothing like buttering up to help here. Truly awesome, awesome guy. It'll be a great addition to our setup and benefits him as well. Now, little word of warning, he's never been to DC before, to the show. So if you see him at the show, with his eyes glazed over, just send him back to us. We'll give him first aid.
Yeah.
Probably will be suffering from big pen show shock. His brother Mike, awesome as well. Yep. And we may have to work out something between the two of them for Columbus. We'll have 4 tables. Again, a lot of real estate. But I'm not sure how that's going to work out. Do we offer to let Tim work the table? Is Tim... is Mike going to work it? Is Tim going to steal it for himself? We need to watch out.
I think it may come down to paper, rock, scissors or something highly scientific like that.
One may pull age rank. One may pull experience rank. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. But, if you don't know the Beiler brothers, boy, they're two cool guys. They're just fun to be around. And
yeah,
and they are smart. They
know their pen stuff.
They do.
Absolutely.
They do, really do.
Absolutely.
And always glad to see him in Little Rock and
Dallas.
Dallas, yeah. And since we've been friends with them, we've been convincing them to come to more and more shows. So
they made it to Columbus last year for the first time, and they thought that was huge. And it is a big show, but I'm excited to see the look on Tim's face when he walks in and just watches jaw drop Saturday morning in D.C.
Yep.
If you've never seen it, it's a little scary.
Yeah, big shows are they're in their own class. I mean, you know, the small shows are all fun, and some of the small shows are not small anymore. But you get a show like D.C. or haven't been to LA yet, but LA is in the same class.
Yep.
Chicago, even. Yep. Columbus. Yeah. Your jaw just hits the floor. So
yeah. Yep. Lots of comfy shoes, lots of Advil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do think, and Tim may not admit this, but I do think that perhaps part of the appeal was that he got to rub it in that not only did he get to go to the show, he gets to make a little money, he gets to play, yeah. gets to hang out. He got to rub that into his brother. So yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Mike.
Sorry. Wish you could be there.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, there it is. DC, come see Tim at the table. Yep. Anything else this week?
I think that's it.
All right. Comments, suggestions for topics, use your pens. Write to us at Anderson Pens, P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912.
Or catch us online.
Email Brian at AndersonPens.net.
Or not to be outdone, Lisa at AndersonPens.net.
Twitter at Twitter.com/AndersonPens.
Facebook is Facebook.com/AndersonPens.
We are on the web, AndersonPens.net, of course.
The blog, AndersonPens.net/blog.
And join our mailing list for advance notice of upcoming events or pre-orders. Thanks for listening to our podcast. See you next week.
Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.